opinions expressed by the hosts, callers, and guests are not those of DGVRadio.com, Envisage Productions, LLC, its advertisers, sponsors, or employees.
All right. Okay, God is good, worthy to be praised. Welcome, of course, to another Saturday here at www.mybroadcastddv.com. This is the day the Lord has made. We are rejoicing and glad, and also welcome you to Mike Live. And we're going in today. I got a lot of stuff to cover, and I'm going to continue to train and equip the saints. I want to go right to the book of Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 3. I'm going to do some teaching and preaching from the aspect of a clash of two worlds. I mean, that's what I'm going to call us. Hello, Charlotte. A clash of two worlds. We also welcome our Mike Live audience, Mike Live. And I want to talk about a clash of two worlds. Let's pray. Let's get into this. A lot to cover. Lord God, we give you thanks and praise that you are the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are the Father of all glory. You give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, that my eyes were enlightened, that we may know the hope of your calling, the glorious riches that are inside the saints, and that exceeding greatness of your power to usward, because I believe according to the working of your mighty power, which you exerted in Christ when you raised him from the dead, far above all principalities, all powers, all mights, all dominions, not only in this cosmos, but the one which is to come, which is your body that filleth all in all in Christ Jesus' name. So be it, so be it, so be it. I want to talk a little bit about a clash of two kingdoms, a clash of two kingdoms. A clash of two parties. I just want to talk about a clash. Now, I want to show you how controversial the body of Christ supposed to be. And this ideal that the church is this nice thing and everybody's supposed to get along, everybody's supposed to like you and embrace you, that is not in the scriptures. The church is always in the middle of controversy. And it sometimes could be very oppositional to the present culture of the day. I keep telling people over and over that the word culture means the way of life. And when the church comes on the scene in the book of Acts and 2 and Acts 3, there's a major controversy going on. God bless you, Pastor Stephanie Kimbrough. And we do bring you greetings on behalf of KOM, Mighty Sons of God Church, and, of course, M318, to our president watching, President Crystal V. Johnson, to the leaders of our organization. I represent our partners. Thank you so much. And I want to look at Acts 2 and Acts 3 in a very strategic fashion. And I want to begin to continue to destroy this mindset that the church is supposed to be this nice organization. God never said anything about us being nice. He said, be kind. And sometimes when it's kind, there's correction. There is controversy. There is so many things. God bless you, Bishop Towns. I miss my man. God bless you, Bishop. And we got to have a mindset that this is the time for the church to stand up, to be the people that we're supposed to be. I'm going to show you by the scriptures that Peter and John were radicals. I'm telling you, man. Peter and John were two radical apostles. This whole thing that we're supposed to be liked by everybody, everybody's supposed to like us, and everybody's supposed to invite us to the party and give us certificates and trophies. I'm trying to figure out what Bible do we read. The real kingdom church was controversy because we're pushing a culture that's contrary to the world's culture. And the word culture means way of life. So when your way does not align with Christ's way, then your way is in the way. And since you're in the way of Christ's way, I got to get you out the way so Christ's way be the only way. I understand, Victoria. You can't have a name, Victoria. You can't have victory and victorious without opposition. You know? So you got to be willing to take the hits and the blows. Now, if you're in this thing for everybody to like you and clap for you and invite you for speaking engagements, then you're not going to get the move of God, because I really believe that there are some things you're going to have to do that's going to cost you some friends, some family, some engagements, and won't be invited to the party. You're going to really feel the Cinderella curse. You're going to be overlooked. Because when you really preach the gospel the way it should be preached, there should be some opposition. It shouldn't be everybody just like you. If everybody like you, I'm trying to figure out, who are you? I'm talking about a clash of two worlds. Drop back to Acts chapter 2. And I want to read something to you, and then I'm going to go to Acts 3. And here's the point I'm going to show you is that there's a clash of two worlds, a clash of two kingdoms, a clash that God has allowed to unfold because God is going after something. And I'm going to show you that God isn't as nice as people say he is. He's kind, he's loving, but sometimes quite judgmental. And there's no such thing in the Bible where God doesn't tell us to judge, which is another lie from American culture. You're supposed to judge. The question is how you judge. With mercy, with grace, because judge means to correct and to enforce righteous laws and decrees. So God does hold us accountable to hold others accountable as he holds us accountable. There's no such thing as watching someone beat a woman up on the street and say, oh, don't judge it, don't judge it. No, you're supposed to go there and help the woman. You're supposed to enforce righteousness. I'm going to read to you a strange portion of scripture, and I'm going to ask you to go back and watch two broadcasts I did today on Mike 4100. I just did one for about a half hour, 45 minutes, and one I did this morning. And I want to just use that here on Mike Live and here on www.mikebroadcastddv.com and teach you that there's a clash of two worlds, a clash of two kingdoms, a clash of two parties. So clashing shouldn't surprise you. You have to understand that clashing is all of a part of how God unfolds his greatness. When the truth church comes forward with the keys of the kingdom, they're going to be tears. And sometimes there's death. Sometimes there's sadness. But at the end of the day, you're going to cry at night, but joy comes in the morning. And this looks like this is the system that God has allowed to be instituted. Judge with righteous judgment. That's good, Victoria. I love that, victory. So when people talk to me about radical, nothing is more radical than Peter and John. I don't want to go to anyone else. I want to focus on Peter and John, and I want to show how radical they were. Because there was something going on in that day, in that time, that Apostle Peter and Apostle John ran up against. And I don't know, we get this thing, everybody embraces us and everybody likes us. I'm trying to figure out what gospel we're preaching. Because when you start holding folks accountable, there's going to be opposition. And I have in my hand the complete Jewish study Bible, Insights for Jews and Christians, Illuminating the Jewishness of God's Word, a great Bible. I'll show it on my, it's a nice, very expensive Bible, but it's worth it. It's produced by Hendrickson Bibles. Is the complete Jewish study Bible. I love it because it adds a little bit of the Hebrew, the Greek, breaks it down, show you some of the Jewish holidays. It's a great full Bible. And the reason why I think you ought to know a little bit about Jewish history so you can really understand the Bible, because we're preaching the Bible like the Bible is an American book when it's an Eastern book with Eastern understanding. So if you're not aware of Eastern understanding, some of the scriptures we're saying, we'd be twisting and messing it up from the floor up. Watch this scripture that Apostle Peter preaches to the Jews that gather on the day of Pentecost. He's not talking to Gentiles in Rome. He's talking to Jews from different nations. And he's giving them a strong word. And look what he says in verse 22 of Acts chapter 2. Watch this, Pastor Kim and Bishop Towns and Victorious Victory Okenda Okwendo. Men of Israel, now I'm going to read this slow for some of y'all who don't want to pay attention to the scripture because you don't want to offend nobody. He don't say men of Rome, men of Patterson, men of Camden. No. He says, and I quote, he says, men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus, which of course comes from the word Yeshua, every J is a Y. Every Y is a J from Hebrew to English. Yeshua from Nazareth was a man demonstrated to you. Who's the you? He's talking to Israel. You, second century Israel. You're not talking to Patterson. The Bible is for us, but everything in the Bible is not written to us. Please know the difference. If you don't understand and become aware of how the Bible is to be embraced, the Bible can confuse you. Acts 2, 22. Men of Israel, listen to this. Yeshua from Nazareth was a man demonstrated to you to have been sent by God because of the powerful works, miracles, and signs that God performed through him in your presence. In your presence, which means I'm a witness. I saw the miracles, and you saw Jesus perform these miracles right before your eyes. And that's why they killed him, because he brought forth life, and they want to stick with the letter. You got that right, Victorious. So you mean to tell me that Jesus performed miracles, signs, and wonders in front of the very same Jews that played a role in crucifying him? Look what it says this. He says that works, miracles, and signs that God performed through him in your presence. You yourselves know this. This man was arrested in accordance with God's predetermined plan and foreknowledge. And through the agency of persons not bound by the Torah, you nailed him on the tree or the stake, and you killed him. Now, just that alone is offensive to some of you, because you're trying to make friends with everybody. But Dr. Michelle Williams, I can read the Bible. It's pretty clear that when Peter is speaking, he's speaking to his own Jewish comrades, and they're coming from all over the world, not just the Jews in Jerusalem. He's holding them all accountable for them playing a role in the crucifixion of Christ. Now, I'm teaching this from the biblical point of view. I'm not trying to talk about retaliatory spirits. I'm not trying to get on anyone's guy. I'm showing the scriptures I can read. Why is Peter preaching this to his Jews? Because there were Jews that accused him of being drunk. And Peter said, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No one in my Jewish community gets drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. Now, maybe 9 o'clock at night, but not 9 o'clock in the morning. So your perception of what's going on is off. This is a fulfillment of Joel chapter 2, which all you Jews know, because you know the Old Testament scriptures, like Americans know the Super Bowl and know LeBron James and Michael Jordan. You know how the scriptures roll. And this is a fulfillment of Joel chapter 2. So Joel's scripture, a prophecy, is being fulfilled right before your eyes. You see me speaking in tongues? Well, that proves to you that the Holy Ghost has been poured out upon all. This is going to be, listen, and you're not going to restrict God's spirit just to us as Jews born by the blood of Abraham. God is going to pour his spirit out on anyone that calls on the name of the Lord, including non-Jews and Gentiles, where we get the term ethnicities or nations from, which means we're not just after Jews, we're after non-Jews and the nations. And Joel prophesied that this would be so. And this is the last days. He's talking last days from when Peter's speaking. He's not talking about last days from America. He's not talking about America don't even exist. He's talking, what's the last days back then? The last days of the Mosaic age, the Jewish age, and the way we used to come to God. There's about to be a closing out, and all that's going to be left is Christ Jesus and the kingdom of God through the hand of the Israel of God, which means Jews and Gentiles joined by the blood of Jesus Christ. No more lambs, no more bulls, no more goats, no more doves, no more high priests in the temple, no more stuff in the temple that's going to be burnt up, all be burnt up, and it's going to be like a new heavens and a new earth, a new way of representing me to the world. That's what he's talking about. I told you, Apostle Peter is saying something quite radical. And look what it says here. Jump down to verse 26. Brothers, I know, I can say to you frankly, that the patriarch David died and was buried. His tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, since he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn an oath to him that one of his seed would sit on his throne, he was speaking in advance about the resurrection of the Messiah, that it was he who was not abandoned to hell, whose flesh did not see decay. God raised up Yeshua, and we are witnesses of it. Let me tell you what he said, Dr. Michelle and Emmanuel. Peter says, I saw Jesus alive. I also was there when y'all put him on a cross. But I also saw him in my face. I am a witness. I was at the scene of the crime, including these 120, including the other 380 who was disobedient, didn't go to the upper room. So over 500 witnesses saw he was alive, and I know he was. And I was at the foot of the cross when you said, crucify him, crucify him. But God raised him up. Then he goes and quotes a scripture that blows me away, which is Psalms 110. Chapter 2, verse 35, it says it like this. It says, moreover, Jesus, Yeshua, Christ, was exalted to the right hand of God. Now, when you hear the term right hand, you don't think about it because you're an American. But when they hear the word right hand, they hear the term the tribe of Benjamin, son of my right hand, which means a power and authority, which means at the right hand of the Father, there is no greater seat. And Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. He takes that seat in the third heaven, in the invisible world. Now, this is a message that Peter is preaching to Jews who are still tied to the old Mosaic system that he said in the last days will come to an end. I'm talking about a clash of two worlds, a clash of two kingdoms, a clash, or watch this, two political parties. It says in verse 33 of Acts chapter 2, moreover, he has been exalted to the right hand of God, has received from the Father what he promised, or God the Father, namely the Holy Spirit, and has poured out this gift, which you are both seeing and hearing. Seeing and hearing. Let me make it plain for some of you who need some lessons. Seeing and hearing. What did they see? What did they hear? They heard this. See, they heard and they saw those funny words. That's called tongues. My spirit talking to God, my spirit praising God. And some of the Jews were able to interpret the tongues because they said, well, I'm a Jew from Galilee and I'm a Jew from Jerusalem. How do you? And there was different dialects. How do I know your dialect, and how do I know your dialect? Because it's supernatural. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14. So this is something that is supernatural. It's not something that's natural. It's not a language learned natural. It's supernatural, Keisha. So Peter goes on to say this. He says, he has been exalted to the right hand of the Father. And you Jews know what that means. Then he goes on to say, and this is actually Psalms 110 verse 1. In verse 34 it says, for David did not ascend into heaven, but he says, Adonai said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Whew, that's deep. Therefore, now look at the scripture. Stay with me. Don't get mad. Stay with me. Don't close me off. Therefore, let the whole house of Israel know beyond a doubt that God has made him both Lord and Christ, which is Messiah. This Yeshua, whom you executed on a stake. Are y'all reading the same Bible I'm reading? Now, I know you think this is Michael McDuffie's Bible, but it's not. This is actually in the scriptures. And I'm going to read it for some of you who don't read this pretty well. I'm going to help you read it. When I talk about a clash of two kingdoms or a clash of two worlds, you talk about politics. You talk about Republican versus Democrat, conservative versus liberal. You're talking about red state versus blue state. You're talking about a clash. This is the old Jewish movement about the run-up against a new Jewish movement. Christ Jesus is the high priest, not the other guy. The priesthood does not come from man now. It's coming from Christ. This is a whole two systems clashing. And what I'm trying to show you, those watching and listening, Peter is a radical. This is something they thought they got rid of. Listen to me. And I'm going to read it to you again because I want to make sure I have people who can read. Acts 2, verse 35. This is quoted from Isaiah 110, verse 1. Adonai said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. This is the Father talking to the Son, Christ, who they're both God, but God in two different manifestations. God as the Father, God as the Son. Adonai said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Don't sound kind of nice, right? Make. Look at 36. In this verse, I know folks can wish they can just rip out the Bible because it really goes against our culture. Therefore, and Pastor Sarah Utterbach used to always say, whenever you find the word therefore, find out why it's therefore. Therefore, let the whole house of Israel know beyond a doubt that God has made him, Yeshua, Jesus, both Lord and Christ, which is the word Messiah. This Yeshua whom you executed on a stake, S-T-A-K-E, not S-T-E-A-K, not the food. Stake means tree or cross. He's speaking to his own Jewish comrades, Jews from Jerusalem, Jews from Galilee, Jews from other parts of the world, and all these Jews gather for the celebration of the day of Pentecost. And he holds the Jews accountable and said, listen, you helped to execute him on the stake. Now, Rome carried it out, but you said, crucify him, because you didn't embrace him as your Messiah. Now, what I love about verse 37, because it puts a lot of us to shame, because what I realize is that it is possible to get convicted and then say, I'm wrong. We missed it. Forgive us, Father God. Tell us what to do. And this is what 3,000 of these Jews did. Now, I want you to watch it, because once I paint this picture, I'm going to show you how radical Peter and John are. And what we need in this hour are some radical saints that will stand on the kingdom of God and don't be kissing political parties. Have your own conviction, vote your values, and follow the Holy Spirit. You won't lose like this. I'm not losing in November. Win or lose, whatever you want to call it, I don't lose. Kingdom of God never loses. I don't care who the president is, because Christ Jesus is king. But I understand I'm involved, and I know how to follow the Holy Spirit, and I already know who won the president election. I already know. God already told me and told me not to reveal it. I'm telling you, in Acts chapter 2, this verse 37 is a crazy verse, because it shows me that you could be wrong and come under conviction and then say, Lord, what you want to do? What you want me to do? And then the Lord would tell you what to do. And if you obey him, your sins are forgiven and God starts you afresh, anew, on a new pathway. Verse 37 of Acts 2 says this, on hearing this, they were stung in their hearts, which means convicted. And they said to Peter, which is Kepha in the Greek, K-E-F-A, and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? This was Peter's answer. All right. Doesn't sound politically correct either. He says, turn from sin return to God. Well, I thought you always were with God. Because folks told me, because I'm born Jewish, I'm already with God. He said, no. Turn from sin and return to God. And I got to return. I mean, I wasn't there. Return to God. And each of you, watch this, be immersed, which is the word baptized, on the authority of Yeshua, the Messiah, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, into the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and to all those afar away, as many as Adonai our God may call. Now, Helena Waldman, Keisha, those who are watching me, I got 2 minutes before the break. This portion of the scripture is quite radical. And let me tell you why. Because approximately over 40 days ago, they killed the man from Galilee. It was Rome that carried it out, and it was the trumped up charges by the Sanhedrin Council and certain Jews that carried it out. But there was also Jews that believed in Jesus. All right, so it's not all, but a portion. And they helped to carry it out. And apparently, some of those Jews who helped carry it out was in the crowd because Peter said, you crucified him. But I'm going to help you out. God already seen that you would do this. He already saw this. So God, by his almighty knowledge, kind of worked it together and allowed it to be for a greater purpose so that you no longer need a bull or a lamb or a goat or a dove, because now you got one blood sacrifice. His name is Jesus. So when that Roman soldier stuck that spear in his right side and out came blood and water, that blood was perpetual. That water is eternally perpetual. The blood is for the forgiveness and taking away of all man's sins, past, present, and future. And the pouring out of the water out of his body represents the pouring out of the Holy Spirit in the kingdom of God. It comes to get in your mouth, getting down inside of you so it can take place inside you and resonate inside of you. But you have to embrace it. You have to repent from the old Mosaic system, repent from the sins of killing Jesus, and turn to Christ. And look what it says here. Oh, my God. It says in verse 41, those who accepted what he said was immersed, and they were added to the group that day about 3,000 people, 120 plus the 3,000. So 3,120 is now a part of this radical team called the Church or the Israel of God. We're going to take a break. And we're going to come back again on www.mikebroadcast.ddb.com.
If you are searching for a doctor that truly cares about your overall health and well-being, contact Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness. For more than 11 years, Dr. Alex has been treating law enforcement professionals and their families while focusing on one-on-one care so you never feel rushed. All necessary testing can be conducted during your visit, and they feature flexible hours and appointments to accommodate alternating work schedules. Tri-State Health and Wellness is conveniently located in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Contact Dr. Alex today by visiting www.bluetristate.com. Mortgages for Everyday Heroes from Michelle Hendershot and Homebridge Financial Services. If you're looking to purchase a home or refinance an existing mortgage, Michelle Hendershot can assist you every step of the way. With over 10 years of experience assisting law enforcement officers with their dream of owning a home, the choice is simple. Contact Michelle Hendershot today. Visit www.mortgagesforblue.com. Are you tired of sleeping alone each night, feeling sluggish during the day? Is your snoring keeping your spouse awake at night? If you find yourself spending too much time on the couch, maybe it's time to visit Dr. Michael Doblin of At Home Sleep Solutions. Dr. Doblin is the preferred sleep apnea doctor of New Jersey's law enforcement officers. With the help of a custom-fitted oral device, you can finally say goodbye to noisy, antiquated sleep apnea machines. For more information and to schedule an appointment today, contact Dr. Michael Doblin. Visit www.bluesnore.com. Moments of Silence, Inc., along with Blue Suicide, is a nonprofit organization founded to support and raise awareness about the epidemic of suicides amongst law enforcement, military personnel, and first responders. For more information on how you can help, visit momentofsilenceinc.org. If you're in the market for a new vehicle or a certified used vehicle, then visit Fetty Auto Group, located at the junction of Route 46 and Route 3 in Clifton, New Jersey. Fetty Auto Group stands shoulder to shoulder with the men and women in blue. Stop by and ask for Troy Mall and ask about the offers for first responders. For more information, visit FettyAuto.com. That's FettyAuto.com. The Blue Magazine, the law enforcement publication by law enforcement professionals for the men and women of law enforcement. The unfiltered voice of law enforcement. TheBlueMagazine.com. Founded in 2014 by retired NYPD police officer Michael Burke, Brothers Before Others is a national 501c3 law enforcement charity comprised solely of both sworn and retired police officers. Since their inception, Brothers Before Others has sent floral arrangements to the services of all line of duty deaths, regardless of where in the country they occur. Having spent over $350,000 to date, while the National Flower Fund remains their cornerstone, their benevolence has since grown well beyond that, even into the civilian world. For more information on how to get involved or to donate, visit brothersbeforeothers.org, or you can visit their public forums on all social media platforms by searching Brothers Before Others. Line of Duty Cigars, owned and operated by retired NYPD detective Tom Werther. Visit lineofdutycigars.com for our handmade Nicaraguan cigars, custom ashtrays, custom humidors, and custom flask sets. Also, when you place an order, you choose a law enforcement, first responder, or veteran charity, and Line of Duty Cigars donates 10% to that organization. Planning a special event? Contact us today. Visit www.lineofdutycigars.com. And now, back to the program. DDVRadio.com.
Phones, because due to the my system here, I had to change phones. And we just thank God. Welcome back again to part two of www.mybroadcastddv.com. And also you're watching and listening to www.mybroadcastddv.com and also to Mike Live. And I've been talking about a clash of two worlds, a clash of two kingdoms, and a clash, of course, of two political parties. And I'm trying to show you right now here on the book of Acts here, which is so deep. That's good. That's beautiful. Acts. And I'm showing you that Apostle Peter and Apostle John is operating at a quite what I call radical level. And if you don't understand a radical level, you're going to notice that our Christianity has been diluted. And Satan is a smart serpent. He tricks us out of our power. He talks us out of our standard. And he robs us of our power and of our authority. But when I studied Acts chapter 3 and 2, this is a radical change, man. Now, after those 3,000 gave their life to Christ, and these are Jews. These are 3,000 Jews, y'all, from around the world, came to Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. I got you. And this is what happened to this new group of people. In verse 42, after the 3,000 gave their life to Christ, they got baptized in water or could be baptized in the Spirit of God. And verse 42 of Acts 2 says, they continued faithfully in the teaching of the apostles. What did they do? In fellowship, one, breaking of bread, which is dinner, eating, two, and in prayers, three. All right? Let me try one more time. They continued faithfully under the teaching or training of the apostles. That's one. In fellowship, two, eating, breaking bread, three. And look where prayer comes, number four. The spiritual thing, if I pray all the time, but it looks like there's three other parts missing before you get to praying. Are you submitted to your apostles' training and teaching? Are you in fellowship with the pastor and the fellowship of the local saints? Do you eat together? See, these are three things they did. Then they got to the prayer part. Folks like to be all deep because they pray all the time. Prayer, the most important thing. It may not be. It's one of the most important things. Prayer, giving, economics, flowing together in fellowship, being trained, equipped by the apostles. Stop trying to put things on levels. Just do all that it tells you. Verse 43 says, everyone was filled with respect and honor and awe, and many miracles and signs took place through the hands of the apostles. All those trusting in Yeshua stayed together and had everything in common. In fact, they sold their property and possessions and distributed the proceeds to all who were in need. You know where the money used to go? The money used to go to the temple, used to go to the temple. Now they're taking the money and kind of dividing it amongst the body of Christ and taking care of the needs of the body. So this is a radical shift. This is going to bring a problem. You're taking money from the mob. You're taking money from the system. I keep telling you, the love of money is the root of all evil. God bless your sister Linda. And the Bible says in verse 46 of Acts 2, continuing faithfully and with singleness of purpose to meet in the temple courts daily. It went to the temple courts daily. And breaking bread in their several homes. So, which means they were going to the temple daily and breaking bread in their homes daily. They shared their food and joy and simplicity of heart, praising God and having respect of all the people. And day after day, watch this, the Lord kept adding to them those who were being saved. Now let me paint this picture, and I want to jump to Acts 3, all right? I got to 250. Now, this is something you have to really get. And I don't really want to really, Acts 3. I moved the thing here. Brother Robbie. Brother Rob. Acts 3. All right, I'll hold it until the thing came up here. This is a radical move because I have to give you what I call what's going on. It came off thing. I have to give you what I call Jewish relevance. What is going on at the time that Peter and John are going through this Pentecostal experience? And here is the deep thing. If you study Jewish history, you already know that approximately 40 days ago, they had murdered and killed the man from Galilee. They had killed him and staked him. It was the Jewish leadership of the day, not all, but those that ran the temple, the Sanhedrin Council, along with Rome, that staked him, which means they put him on a cross or they murdered him, which is better than killed him, all right? And here's the deep thing. This is so deep. After they buried Jesus, they thought they got rid of him, and they thought the system was dead and gone and the system was over. But here's the radical part. They went back to business as usual in Acts 3 while this new seed was germinating called the church, or what I call the Israel of God. Well, this Israel is not tied to the physical temple. This Israel is tied to the blood of Jesus. So there's a transference of power. And what it goes to show is that Acts chapter 2, verse 20, verse 35, is true. Father God Adonai said to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. So in Acts 3, you're going to watch the Father God turn the old Jewish system into a footstool. So when you hear footstool and God will do this, God will do that, God don't always use guns and bombs and bullets. He can use the gifts of the Spirit and the power of persuasion. Because contrary to popular opinion, it's not the person with the title that's running the company. It's the one that's most influential. I'm telling you, man, I've learned a long time ago, you don't always have to be up front to run the game. You don't always have to be one, you don't always have to be the one in charge to be in charge. Oh, you think I'm lying? You think the teachers are in charge of their classrooms? There's a student running stuff. So you always got to be up front, have the big title. Who is very influential, who got the power of persuasion, is one that's running the show. And sometimes systems do not like people who are very influential. Dr. King was very influential. Malcolm X, very influential. When you're able to move the crowd, that's the threat to the present movement. When we get to Acts 3, and I'm going to get this in here because I'm going to say this before it gets to 250. I got 7 minutes. In Acts 3, there was a man sitting in front of the temple gate called, the gate was called the Gate of Beautiful. And Peter, taking him by the right hand, lifting him up, this man never walked before, Sister Linda or Sharon. And the man received strength in his legs, his ankle, and his feet. And the Bible here says in verse 10, well, what's it, verse 9, well, no, jump up to verse 8. So that he sprang up, stood a moment, and began walking. Then he entered the temple court. He entered the temple court. I need you to circle that in your Bible. Entered the temple court with them, with them, with them, with them. What was he doing? Walking, leaping, and praising God. Verse 9 says, everyone saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the same man who had formerly sat begging at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were utterly amazed and confounded at what had happened. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people running towards them in astonishment toward them in Solomon's colonnade. Seeing this, Peter addressed the people. Men of Israel, why are you, no, it's the men of Rome. Men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Or why do you stare at us as if we made this man walk through our power of godliness? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of his fathers, has glorified his servant, Yeshua. The same Yeshua you handed over and disowned before Pilate. And even after he had decided to let him go, you denied the Holy One, innocent one, and instead asked for the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life. Now, I said this many times in SITU, and I said this many times. This was political. This was a radical clash here. Because Peter and John are saying, y'all may have thought you killed him, but he's back. He lives in us. And it's the name of Jesus that got this man up walking. That goes to show that you could be so good at what you do that the other power don't like it. This is why I'm not moved by people and crowds and groups and denominations. I'm not moved by speaking engagements, because I realize when God empowers you, you know, it doesn't matter what people do to you, you will overcome it. You'll either eat it up or you'll shut it down. Aaron's snake ate it up, and Elijah's power shut it down. And I'm a firm believer, and please hear me close, I am a firm believer that the body of Christ wants to be so liked by everybody, she can't take a firm stand. Did you know in this scripture, now this is funny, right? After these miracles, right, which is crazy, right? After they do this thing, apostle, the Bible here says that, I'm going to read this to you. If you go to chapter 4, it says, Peter and John were still speaking to the people when the Jewish guards, the priests, the captain in charge of the temple police came upon them, very annoyed that they were teaching the people the doctrine of resurrection from the dead and offering Yeshua as proof. Because you weren't supposed to mention that name, Apostle Bruno. The temple police, which represents Passaic County, the past police department, arrested them. And since it was already evening, they put them in custody overnight. However, many of those who heard the message trusted the number of men alone were about 5,000. Now, let me stop because I'm getting close to 250. Here's the point I'm making. A clash of two kingdoms, a clash of two worlds, a clash of two political parties. I'm here to let you know, body of Christ, that we're living in times where the church got to take a stand. And she can't punk, she can't cap, she can't run just because everybody don't like you. Peter and John were so radical because they brought the gospel of the kingdom right in the middle of the prayer service. Now, there's a Saturday prayer service where it could have been close to 15, 20,000 Jews gathering in the Solomon Colonnade hallway. And when the man jumping up and down, having walked since he was born, holding on to Peter and John, they walk up in the back of the room. Now, while whoever's running the prayer meeting in the old Jewish movement, these folks turn around, ignore the speaker, and runs towards Peter and John because they see this man jumping up and down, and they know this man is that same man that been out front for over 40 years, haven't walked a lick until Peter and John showed up. This is something radical. This is going to cause a problem. That's why they went and got arrested in Acts chapter 4, because you're bringing a clash between two entities. I'm here to let you know, body of Christ, and I guess I got 2 minutes. Stop trying to be liked by everybody and stop trying to get everybody to accept you, because there is a radical church rising up. And all you're seeing now is what's going on in the physical world based on even the presidential election. But the church better have a voice, and the church better stand. And the church better let her constitution stand and take the hits where it come. There are things that God has commanded us to do and commanded us to be. We have to do it no matter what it costs us. And I can tell sometime where the church stands by reading some of your Facebook posts and Instagram and TikTok. I can see. It doesn't carry much weight, because we don't want to stand on the word of God. We don't want to stand for truth. And because we don't want to stand for truth, this is why we find ourselves in great trouble. I got to go, because right now it's about 2:49. I'm going to close it up. Thank you for tuning in. Tomorrow morning, 7:47, begin to watch the Mighty Sons of God Fellowship Church. Tonight, I need everybody to go to the Cash App, $PastorMichael7, PayPal address, supermite777gmail.com. Do not forget, we have our own KOM television network on Roku Television. If you're interested in going on television and reaching 40 million people, come on, inbox me, connect with me. I got to go. Thank you for listening to www.mikebroadcastddv.com. Next Saturday, God bless you.
If you are searching for a doctor that truly cares about your overall health and well-being, contact Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness. For more than 11 years, Dr. Alex has been treating law enforcement professionals and their families while focusing on one-on-one care, so you never feel rushed. All necessary testing can be conducted during your visit, and they feature flexible hours and appointments to accommodate alternating work schedules. Tri-State Health and Wellness is conveniently located in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Contact Dr. Alex today by visiting www.bluetristate.com. Mortgages for Everyday Heroes from Michelle Hendershot and Homebridge Financial Services. If you're looking to purchase a home or refinance an existing mortgage, Michelle Hendershot can assist you every step of the way. With over 10 years of experience assisting law enforcement officers with their dream of owning a home, the choice is simple. Contact Michelle Hendershot today. Visit www.mortgagesforblue.com. Are you tired of sleeping alone each night? Feeling sluggish during the day? Is your snoring keeping your spouse awake at night? If you find yourself spending too much time on the couch, maybe it's time to visit Dr. Michael Doblin of At Home Sleep Solutions. Dr. Doblin is the preferred sleep apnea doctor of New Jersey's law enforcement officers. With the help of a custom-fitted oral device, you can finally say goodbye to noisy, antiquated sleep apnea machines. For more information and to schedule an appointment today, contact Dr. Michael Doblin. Visit www.bluesnore.com. Moment of Silence, Inc., along with Blue Suicide, is a nonprofit organization founded to support and raise awareness about the epidemic of suicides amongst law enforcement military personnel, and first responders. For more information on how you can help, visit momentofsilenceinc.org. If you're in the market for a new vehicle or a certified used vehicle, then visit Fetty Auto Group, located at the junction of Route 46 and Route 3 in Clifton, New Jersey. Fetty Auto Group stands shoulder to shoulder with the men and women in blue. Stop by and ask for Troy Mall and ask about the offers for first responders. For more information, visit FettyAuto.com. That's FettyAuto.com. The Blue Magazine, the law enforcement publication by law enforcement professionals for the men and women of law enforcement. The unfiltered voice of law enforcement. TheBlueMagazine.com. Founded in 2014 by retired NYPD police officer Michael Burke, Brothers Before Others is a national 501c3 law enforcement charity comprised solely of both sworn and retired police officers. Since their inception, Brothers Before Others has sent floral arrangements to the services of all line of duty deaths, regardless of where in the country they occur. Having spent over $350,000 to date, while the National Flower Fund remains their cornerstone, their benevolence has since grown well beyond that, even into the civilian world. For more information on how to get involved or to donate, visit brothersbeforeothers.org, or you can visit their public forums on all social media platforms by searching Brothers Before Others. Line of Duty Cigars, owned and operated by retired NYPD detective Tom Werther. Visit lineofdutycigars.com for our handmade Nicaraguan cigars, custom ashtrays, custom humidors, and custom flask sets. Also, when you place an order, you choose a law enforcement, first responder, or veteran charity, and Line of Duty Cigars donates 10% to that organization. Planning a special event? Contact us today. Visit www.lineofdutycigars.com.